Hello and welcome to Star Drop Tea, a Stardew Valley gossip podcast. My name is Shirley and today I am joined by a very special guest. Thank you so much for being here today, Faye. She is a content creator on TikTok, also creates content on Twitch, and of course a Stardew Valley enthusiast.
Thank you so much, Shirley. It's an honor.
Oh, thank you. I would love to just start with the question, how did you get here to be on the podcast? And then we'll take it from there.
Yes. Well, I work a night job and luckily we are able to have headphones. I burned through about 25 books since the start of the year, listening to audiobooks and 15 podcasts I listen to because I need to fill up the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what other special interest have I not added to this yet? And I'm like, video games. I don't want a general one. And I just recently, within this last year, started playing Stardew Valley more. And I'm like, is there a Stardew Valley podcast? Because I remember seeing one of your TikToks and just passing through. And it came to my mind. And I'm like, oh, okay. I searched it up and there it was. And I'm like, oh, it's a podcast. It wasn't just somebody making Stardew Valley content.
Yes.
And then because I've been interviewing like famous voice actors and I've been doing interviews within the anime community, I'm like, I would love to be a part of this because Stardew Valley has been becoming more of a bigger thing in my life, and I wanted to talk about it. I see how passionate you are, and I'm like, you're my kind of people.
Yes, the people who recognize that there's so much to be passionate about, especially this game. And I know you just mentioned that you've done interviews with like famous voice actors. Specifically, it was for Pokemon, right? If you want to just talk briefly about that, I'll include it in the show notes as well for people.
Oh, yes. So back in the day, for this channel called Talk Nerdy to Me, the show, and we would go to local anime conventions, and our Comic-Con has recently like gotten bigger over like the last 10 years. So we finally started to get people in. I was so excited when I got to be under press and didn't have to pay for my badge. That was huge. And in 2019, Tara Sands, one of my favorite voice actors who did the original voice of Bulbasaur for Pokemon, Clefairy, and a bunch of others. She was there. I already had a Bulbasaur tattoo. I'm like, can you sign this paper? And then I went and got the tattoo later on because then the whole world shut down. So
yeah.
When she came again, I showed it to her and she was ecstatic. And we kind of became friends and I asked if I could do an interview with her. She did. She did it just out of the kindness of her heart. Less than 24 hours before we were about to record, she's like, hey, can Megan Hollingshead, who does Nurse Joy, come on too? And I had 24 hours to scramble and write a whole new part to ask questions as well. So people are like Peter New, who did the voice of Big Mac in My Little Pony, Mike and Ming from Comic Book Men, and also from Kevin Smith's movies, various comic book authors as well. So I have quite a big background of it, and I've just been really happy to get back into even now being a guest on a podcast.
Yeah, that's huge. Well, thank you. I feel honored. I'm excited to chat with you about what brought you to Stardew Valley and essentially like how did you get into the game? And I would love to know how your gameplay has evolved since you started playing.
Absolutely. It's been quite a story for me in Stardew Valley. So I've always heard people who like cozy games would play this game. And I wanted to get into it, but I'm like, I was always playing other things. Mm-hmm. I was playing World of Warcraft mostly. I'm like, oh, this seems, I'll get to it later. And in 2019, I saw that it was on sale on Steam and I'm like, okay, I'll get it. I probably played less than an hour and I was like, oh, this is fun. But then the rest of life got in the way and I'm like, I was doing other things. And then in 2020, I was so busy with everything else with my wonderful two kids who also do play Stardew as well. We'll, of course, talk about that a little bit later. And I didn't get back to it really until about this last year. A lot of things have happened in my life, but to very much summarize, in 2020, I started making a lot of changes in my life. Just I wanted to be in a better spot. And because now I had a little bit more time, I started making those personal changes. In 2021, I had my realization that I was transgender, and so many more things are happening in between. I'm sure I would come to Stardew Valley at points. I'd create a new account, play for a little bit, delete it. I always kept my very first one that I started, but I never put in that time. There was always so many other things, you know, two kids under five working. And then within this past year, after me and my co-parent had separated, I had more time to focus. And I'm like, what would help me calm down? What would help me? You know, I'm not playing action on a Beat Saber. I'm not intensely focused on healing in World of Warcraft. I'm like, okay, I just need to slow down. What do I have in my library? Because I don't want to buy another game that I'm not playing. Like, what can I play to slow down? And it was Stardew Valley. I remember playing before and like, let's invest a little more time into it. So I started playing more, and then I was doing my own playstyle, which we can go into that, is the game doesn't give you a lot of tips.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus from a lot of people.
It gives you a couple quests in the beginning. It gives you a very basic understanding. But then, much like Concerned Ape has said, he's like, it's not a farming simulator. It's an RPG.
Yeah.
Which was never in my mind to think about. I think about like Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing. Those are like, you know, they're not, in my mind, they're not role playing. Mm-hmm. But in this one, I'm like, when I heard him say that, I'm like, this makes a lot more sense. And the more I've played and delved into it, so in the beginning, I would play maybe like a season. And then I'm like, okay, this is what I can do to maximize my benefit of the season. Mm-hmm. I would delete that save and start a new one.
Okay.
I would rarely go to YouTube for the tips because I'm like, well, the game's not going to tell me. I need to learn. And so I would kind of repeat that sometimes, go two or three seasons in, delete that account, start over. Okay. Made it a full year, made it into season two, finally completed the community center. And then I'm like, great. Deleted that as soon as I finished it, restarted another save. I'm like, I can do this so much more efficiently now. Mm-hmm. And that was my gameplay for a while. And it was very positive because I was happy to learn something new. And I'm like, I can improve this, which I know for a cozy RPG, like that's probably not most people's to optimize, except for maybe like speedrunners or something. But
there's a lot of those. Yeah.
That's how I got enjoyment out of it. And more recently, not just listening to your podcast, but also absorbing other Stardew Valley content. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to focus on one and just keep playing it through. Probably get to 3 years. And then the more stuff I've learned, like about perfection or about the other islands or the other big things you can unlock, I'm like, okay, maybe like 5 years, put in more time, but I'm absorbing all this new content as well. So I'm trying to retain that information mm-hmm. while I'm going in so I don't create another file to start before I'm like, I have so much more information. I could delete this file. No, I'm going to keep this one. So that's been the biggest effect now. And with this podcast, I'm like learning so much, not just maybe like little tips I didn't know, or like, hey, you need this addition to your house to have the horse. So many things I missed that it's given more meaning because now not just myself and playing, but my soon to be 7 and 10 year old. And the more knowledge I can get from continuing one save, the better I can help them. And it'd be just like a family game that's meaning a lot more important to me. So that's how my gameplay has shifted.
That's huge. Thank you so much for sharing all that. The deleting multiple saves is something I definitely relate to, because the longer you play, the more you understand. But then also, for me at least, I was frustrated, like, oh, I could have done that differently. I could have done that better. Now that I know better, I kept the one save that I started just to like see what has happened and how I can continue to grow on that one. But I've created multiple saves because of the thing too. But like, no, let's try this again. I could be better. I know how to maximize my spring. And so that's a huge one. And yeah, and thank you for sharing, of course, like the story of how things have evolved and transitioning in real life, but also in the game. I know you had mentioned previously that you like went into one of your old saves and you saw like, oh, like this is a beautiful depiction of who I am in the game too. And so like, I love that it can offer that for you to just visualize yourself in a different way.
The character customization.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because even back then, and I know it wasn't just the first save I have, they were never not playing female characters. But you don't think about that at the time. You're just like, I just want to play this game. I want to look cute. That's what I pick. So seeing that from then of having that female character with just, you know, under an hour's worth of playtime versus now, where thanks to the podcast and absorbing that, also seeing other people's Stardew Valley content, I'm like, that's right. Relationships aren't just for like friendships. They're actually like marriages and children. And then, which a pass I won't be taking is dubbing your children or divorcing. Like,
yeah,
it's
not for everyone.
No, I don't pick the bad dialogue in video games. So if there's that aspect of the game, I won't be exploring that.
Yeah.
Everything else, though, yes.
Nice. You can live vicariously through me. And I'm only really doing it just because I've like read through all of their content for so long. I just want to see like what happens. So I'll take one for the team. I'll do that for all of us. But I really love that you've also transitioned into having this be more of a family game too, because your kids are playing. Do you play together or are they all like doing their individual saves?
I play just by myself, but because I have a Switch and also it's on my Steam, my kids play. So yes, it is. And since right now the family is obsessed with K-pop Demon Hunters, the 7-year-old, he is Rumi. And the 10-year-old is Mira. They've customized their characters to look like them. That's how they address each other while they're playing in the game.
So cute. Yeah.
And they talk to each other. I'm going to do this. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing to see that. And then, of course, if they need help, I'll help them. I'll look it up. Especially my 10-year-old's like, what materials do I need to upgrade this? What do I need to catch? And then, of course, they do experience my frustration as well of like, you know, when you accidentally click an action button and you use the last of your energy and then you're drained and you have to slowly walk back. But yeah, I think they're probably past the first season co-op, but they do as well start new farms. They're like, I want to try the ocean layout or the wooded layout. So they do that as well. But to see young kids enjoying this game, almost in the same way I am. You know, they're not playing fast-paced games like Sonic or Mario where everything's going. They got to take time to slow down and focus, and it's an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you play co-op, because I believe that when you play co-op, you can't pause the game. It just, like, the time keeps running. Because when you do single player, you can pause, of course, like if you open a chest or if you have a cutscene or something. But in co-op, the days when you run through them without pausing, I think that they're like 14 minutes or 18 minutes if you're in Skull Caverns worth of content of like the full day. And it is, to your point, like something that you want to take time and you have to kind of plan stuff out. And if you also didn't plan it, like it's a Wednesday and you need seeds, you gotta figure some stuff out. I love that they can have that connection, and collaborative co-op is great. I wanted to jump into the romance aspect. So you had mentioned as you were playing the game and you were figuring out that you have the chance to date I think it's 12 people.
10 or 12, yeah.
Is there someone that you go to often, or have you tried getting to know the other characters that are dateable in the game?
So in my original playstyle, the goal was just complete the community center. Mm-hmm. At that point, I didn't even know that you could spend all your money to JoJamart and get the upgrades that way. I didn't know that was a thing because the game didn't tell me, hey, if you just spend a bunch of money instead of trying to get these items to improve the community center, if the game would have given me that option, I might have done a run through with that.
Oh. Do you think you might do a JoJo run?
No.
No. You're like, I might, but I'm not.
It would hurt too much.
Yeah.
And the Junimos need a place to live.
Yeah, sure.
I have a Junimo decal on my car.
Oh, that's so sweet. I need to get more merch. As someone who talks about merch often, I have like almost nothing. How did you figure out that you could date people, I guess, without reading the wiki? Like, how did that come about?
It was actually through the podcast, because before I'm like, oh, okay, I have heart levels with people. And like, I'm sure like in passing or researching through, I'm like, oh, you can't get married or you can, you know, increase hearts with them. But I thought it was just the more you interact with them, the higher it goes. That was it. Mm-hmm. When it happened, it was actually an accident. It was a meet cute, actually, because that. I had an amethyst, and I remember that Abigail likes amethysts. Mm-hmm. I had started the day in the mines or in the cavern. I'm like, I remember. That's the one thing I remembered of who likes what. Mm-hmm. Aside from maybe like the quests that they give you, like, hey, Marnie likes amaranth or Pam likes alcohol. Like, okay. Yes. Amethyst. Okay. So I had an amethyst. So I went and I gave it to her. I'm like, I'm just going to be nice. And then she really liked it. And then I went to see on my social tab because I, you know, start at zero. Like, how much did it shoot up? It's now at 3 hearts from zero. I'm like, oh. And then I look, it's her birthday. So I got a bonus from giving her a loved gift on her birthday. I'm like, well, this is the one I'll pursue because, you know, also purple hair, cute.
Yeah. You're like, I've already given you a rock. So I might as well just see this through. You know?
Just see all the way from amethyst to diamond. It makes sense.
This is how, you know? That's how meet cutes work these days. You start at the mines, you get a rock, and you give it to a purple hair girl. So,
But yeah, I was just wanting to give somebody something they like.
Yeah.
And I saw that, I'm like, oh, and like I said, I'm listening to you, the podcast in tandem, and like, oh, I can make. And then because I didn't previously spend any time talking to people, I didn't know any of their stories. Mm-hmm. Just the basic line of what the game tells you. And the more I played through, I did look through the wiki. I'm like, okay, what? Mainly I wanted to make sure I picked the right dialogue options to get the most amount of bonus from when I spoke to Abigail. And I'm like, oh. Just got enough of that backstory. Obviously, they don't give us full life histories.
No.
But I'm like, okay, She wants to be braver. Awesome. She dyes her hair, which I know there's been a lot of conspiracies about purple hair and lineage on the podcast for sure.
There sure has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue until someone tells me something.
Yeah. Concern 8 needs to put out a press release.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, purple hair wants to be braver, which kind of need to be nowadays for sure about who you are. Mm-hmm. My co-parent dyes her hair all the time. I have a little bit of dyed hair since the transition. I started dyeing my hair.
Very fun.
I like dyed hair. Mm-hmm. And then she's kind of like as emo as you can be in a town like Stardew Valley. If you're looking at everybody, yeah, she's not wearing black and spikes, but she's the most emo you can be. And I'm
pretty
like,
emo. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty emo. Like
in the mines and outside with her, I believe it's what, the 8 heart event. It's raining and it.
Oh, when she's out there playing flute.
Yeah, when she's playing her flute in the rain, you know, if it was moment. If there was music playing like My Chemical Romance or something, she'd probably be listening to like playing the background with her. We had her meet cute. I'm going to just fully pursue that. And the more I've learned about her and I've got to experience those, the character in the game meant more. Mm-hmm. It's such a wonderful thing to build their 8-bit characters, but you build a relationship with them. Yes. Like people like, I hate Pierre. I hate Clint. Like, why is there such strong emotions? But I'm like, but I love Abigail. So I get it. But it's usually on the other side of love mm-hmm. as opposed to I don't like them.
Yeah. That's really, really sweet. And there's so much to love about Abigail. Before we continue, I'm going to do a live fact checking. The flute playing heart event is at 4 hearts. So I think that makes a lot of sense as you're building your relationship. So have you given Abigail flowers and like asked her out officially?
Yes. I think at the beginning when we were setting everything up was our wedding day.
Okay. So yeah. So you've asked her
yes.
out.
Yes.
You're marrying her. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, I had played up till then. I'm like, all right. I'm not going to start this till my next weekend so I can like fully spend, enjoy the day, see how it's affecting my life. First time I did watch that little cutscene, I had told my 10-year-old, I was like, oh, I'm going to marry Abigail next time I play. He wanted to see it. So we got to share that moment together. It's just been an experience to go from not caring about the characters to now like, I care who I marry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talk a lot about just like how much I love the game, but definitely I think the story that we're given is so rich because it could easily be a really superficial game.
Right.
She likes rocks. She lives at home. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of it. But like, and you know, I want to know more about her time that she spends in the graveyard. Like, is she connected to anybody that passed there? Like there's so much. And maybe right. It's just that I'm a curious mind and I have to know things. I'm like, why? But for me, and then as you've mentioned, like there's a lot more. You can get not attached but like connected and through a storyline if you pay attention to it, of course.
For sure. Yes. And then like with that 6 heart event where you meet her at the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Pierre shows up and she has that moment. She's like, she wants to live her own life. She's walking away. And you even like look at Pierre like, what decision do I make? Do I respect her dad or do I respect her by going with her? She's making that choice. And of course we go with her. Mm-hmm. And I think these just little like 5 lines of dialogue, which we're making up the voices in our heads. We're making Absolutely. Up everything around this of how much this dialogue means to us. I'm like, oh, that's great. You're expanding the world only a couple sentences at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you were saying. It's such a beautiful thing of how expansive this world is. But until you explore it, you don't know. You can be given an open world game like Elden Ring or Breath of the Wild, and you can see how huge the map is. Mm-hmm. But in this game, you see how small the map is, and it only grows with connection to the other characters.
Absolutely. And such a beautiful way to put it. And I know that everyone plays however they want to play it. I just want to be clear, like there's no wrong way to play this game.
Right.
But as you, if you decide to explore what the other characters are doing and like who they are, I think it's also really cool how interconnected they are. Like so much of their stories also show up on other people's dialogue. And so you really get to understand like Abigail has a complex relationship with her mom. And I definitely think that that's something that probably a lot of people can relate to, just like having difficult relationships with your parents.
Right.
And then there's also the relationship that Abigail has with you and that relationship with Pierre and with Sebastian. And just like, I just think that that's really cool. And I don't say that often.
Yes. I think that, and not just maybe the character you choose to pursue, like even in the game, if you choose a female character, she's like, I didn't know I was into girls till I met you. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we add so much to the characters because we're given so little, but that little line of dialogue, then you can just run with it. Like with other characters as well, the thing talked about before is because I wasn't talking to the characters. I don't know what they like. I don't know more of their backstory. I know where they are, what they do. I can look at their schedule on the wiki, but like, that's all I'll know. And much like with Abigail and our meet cute, the first time I talked to Pam or Gabe or anything was on the day the bus was repaired. So I'm like, I'm going to go to that desert. So it gives you that quest pretty early on to give Pam a pale ale. You could just think that, oh, you're just gifting something to somebody and not knowing
your future bus driver.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I'm like, hi, Pam. Nice to meet you. Here's your beer. Please take me to the desert. Mm-hmm. And that moment hit me. I was like, oh, I just gave her that gift because that's what the quest said. Give her the gift. And then I bought the ticket and I'm like, oh, wait, she's driving. I had this emotional response of like, I just gave it to her. Now it hit me. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done. I feel bad. And then learning more about her backstory, I'm like, oh no, I want to support people and I want to help them in any way I can. And I unknowingly just focusing on the quest, supporting her addiction. I'm like, oh no. I had so much of emotional response completing that quest in the moment and realizing it. Because then, you know, she drove me.
And luckily you arrived safe, but there's also like that guilt.
Yes.
Did I just impact someone's drive? You're like, what if someone was on the road? I don't know. Maybe it could be happening. And that's really interesting that you brought up Pam when we had like briefly chatted before today. You had told me that you were really rooting for Pam. And I would love to know what your take on her story is. She's actually a character that I'm really excited to dive much, much deeper than we are going to do today, just because there's not a lot and there could be so much richness added to her story by like, of course, like speculating. So we'd love to know, yeah, your perspective and what do you think led her to some of the choices she's made?
Well, you know, I think that with a lot of these characters too, we see with Pam, with Shane, and most of the other adult characters, there's Pierre Schaap. And then there's the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it as far as like, I mean, nobody else is really farming, so they don't need to go to Marnie's for anything. Whether they know that the hat mouse exists, if they're going and buying hats.
I don't think they know because all of their fashion is terrible. It'd be better if they knew about the hat mouse.
None of them are really wearing hats except for the wizard. Right? Just in well, the winter. Well, and Lewis, or, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe they buy it for winter, just cold gear. But mm-hmm. I think that, okay, so this establishment, yes, they do serve food at the saloon, but most people are there every day for a certain amount of time as far as the adults. I'm like, because it's personally affected my life with my family, and I'm just like, oh, there's a lot of people who have substance issues, it seems like. It's one of the things like, oh well, I want everyone to get better. And the more I learn about characters like Pam or Shane, or like these people, they're in such a small space, none of them really have the thought to get out of there. And it's going to be a cycle, not just for them, but then the kids that they're raising. And I think that it was not just for Pam, but for everybody to, you know, I'm thinking my work somehow as the farmer will be able to lift the community. Now they have the community center. Okay, maybe we don't need to go drink every night. Let's go to the community center. Let's, you know, do these things with our kids and then have a life that doesn't involve that. So it's, again, this game is very deep. If you do look into it, if you don't look into it, you're just like, build a community center, done.
I'm out here farming, I'm selling it, and I wake up and I do it all over again. Yeah, it's a unique story. I think her being a single mom, she's the only single mom in town too. So that's also something that is really near and dear to me as I grew up with a single parent, and the hardships that they go through all of the time is immense. And, you know, shout out to single moms out there. Yes. And single parents too.
And that was me as well. My mom raised three kids by herself, and now I'm doing it with my kids. Well, me and my co-parent have a very good relationship, but still just managing it, you know, that's one American 6 hours a week. But I think, again, just my real world experiences are showing up in these characters. I'm like, do I want to play for it? But I'm like, I'm gonna help them. I've helped myself. I want to help them now.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. And I love that we get to provide a different household for her. I think that there could be a little bit more in there because it does feel weird that I kind of keep it a secret. Not that I'm trying to like show off like, oh, I bought your house, but I prefer that we're a little bit honest with each other about like how that happened. But I do think the fact that we in the game through our actions, it is a choice though, because people can choose to not do it, that if you choose, though, you get to expand the way that they live. And also it affects her kid, Penny, who impacts kids' lives in the town too, because she's teaching them. So there's like a
right
a trickle down effect. This is the only time there's like trickle down economics where right. we're like actually like helping the people in our community. Yeah.
And with that and upgrading and, you know, from a trailer to a house, you're thinking like, maybe that's the difference for that character. Mm-hmm. Again, we get so much and so little information, but you're like, hey, if she has a house now instead of this, they're not as cramped, they're, you know, maybe that'll ease it up and she won't have as much stress. She won't need to have a drink instead. You're really making a difference. if you want credit or not, I don't think I'll take credit either when I get to it. But I hope the best for all.
Yeah, definitely. And she has a quote in the game where she admits that she would like to do something else and like have activities. And I really hope for, and I'll ask you about like 1.7 wishes, but I definitely hope for whatever future updates there are that we just expand her story. Because while I do think that she has maybe like quality of life a little bit better, she's still drinking all the time.
Yeah.
You know, she seems to be okay for the most part. I'm enabling it at some points because I'm just like, here's the quickest thing. Like, just eat that so I can get something. But I think I would like to see her world expand a bit more and for her to have activities and go to the community center and like do other stuff.
Yeah. Because I don't even need like new spaces on the map. I don't need if the characters even just like interaction more like on certain events or stuff, because you're going up, you're talking to everybody else. You don't see them interacting with each other like that, of just them crossing back and forth in their paths. Mm-hmm. Like they're not having a little dialogue. Like when you're in the shop and it's Pierre and Abigail, maybe they have a talk as dad and daughter of like, even just little things like, did you make sure to clean your room, or we're having this mm-hmm. tonight? It just expands it a little bit more. So I'm not talking like full dialogue sessions, like cut scenes, like for minimal interactions, just to have them say stuff to each other as you pass. So even if you don't catch it, you can at least still know that the world is a little bit more lived in, mm-hmm. that they're talking to each other because it's such a small space. So yes, expanded character stories. And even, you know, the hard events, which are great to watch for sure. And sometimes like the random events that happen, it's very, just expand, just add more of those. Maybe not even like every 2 hearts or 3 hearts. Maybe every heart. It's just a little bit something more. It can be
like a short cutscene. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Like it'll show that your relationship with them, not like you want to fix everything, but every time you improve their relationship, you either see a little bit more of their life of how you're affecting it by being more of their friend, or just in general how their life is progressing. Like mm-hmm. you can be 10 stars with them, not 10 stars, like 8 stars with them, but not be like an integral part of their life. Mm-hmm. But you see these little bits and pieces. That's the most I would like to see, is more of just the little cutscenes, because then that just gives us so much more, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would love to be able to walk into their home unannounced, as I do.
We do,
cause
yes.
Because I don't knock, which, you know, no. Maybe we introduce knocking. that new concept. We knocked and someone says, come in. I don't just walk in, but whatever. I would really like to see a cutscene where I walk in and Penny and Pam are like having a discussion or something, where I can see an improved relationship. And maybe that's me just being like, wouldn't it be nice if we all repaired the relationship with our parents? but through yes. the game, can't you give me that? So right. Because if I recall, and I'm gonna see, this is actually another thing I would like for 1.7. I would like cutscenes where we have to go to like maybe 14 hearts, because unless you marry someone, everyone right. caps out at 10. And I would like to have a further cutscene that makes me want to talk to them more, because as I've mentioned, I stop talking to people once I've reached all of the hearts, and I would like an excuse. I think that'd be cool.
I definitely think I agree with that. And to your point of what you were saying, like if the person's not there, you kind of shouldn't have access to their house. Mm-hmm. And then of course, because we know sometimes even like, where is this person at? They should be here. They're not. And like, I need this thing from you. But if we're doing that with like their houses or something, like that gives you an opportunity to go find them. Okay, I found you, talk to you. And yeah, just to further that dialogue. And even if it's like, let's say cap out at whatever many hearts, that's not the person you're married to, we still get like some form of interaction. Maybe it's a mm-hmm. even just like dialogue options of just like, aren't you so happy we're best friends now or something, you know, you get the maximum amount of hearts that you're not in a relationship. And then like, I'm so happy we're friends. That would mean something to me to be like, they're my friend. Awesome. I'm going to make sure to find them and say like, give them something, even if it doesn't increase my hearts, that little bit of an interaction. I'm like, how's everything going? And it can just be, you know, continually scripted. It might shift everyone for like 10 options. But I mean, wouldn't want you want to hear you max out and every time you talk to them, like, hey, friend, like that would make me happy.
That'd be nice. I would even like, so you bring a great point about like being best friends, because I feel like the people I'm best friends with, I want to talk and like have an event. So it would be cool to also pick like a super best friend or something. Okay. And I saw on TikTok, someone said that like one of the things that they would love to see is that they just get invited to the dance class, like the dance workout class. And maybe that's like a best friend cutscene where you get invited to like come jazzercise or whatever they're doing.
Right.
You just walk in on that. But like everyone's like, oh, we're just like working out, but we're never invited. So it'd be nice to be invited.
Yeah. Or even, I know it would be perpetuating, but like, hey, do you want to get a drink with me tonight? Sure. And then you arrive at the saloon in between the little times and you have that with them. I think that would definitely do that. Or even like during events, like they can come up to you. Like we know, like they'll come outside of our farm door at 6 a.m., which granted, I just got up, but you shouldn't be at my door. But in that same sort of way, they'll approach you, like getting that for whoever you have varying levels of hearts with. Like, so if they're like 6 hearts and under, they'll like come up to you and it won't be a little cutscene like, hey, how's it going? Like, that's it. You don't have to talk to them to interact with them. They'll come up and just say their dialogue to you unprompted. And then if you're higher hearts with others, you get that quick little cutscene, or even like during the fishing derby, maybe they stand next to you while you're fishing. Hey, do you want a hot chocolate? Like something simple like that. That would build the world for me so much more than like more islands or more things to explore.
Yeah, I would love some support while I'm fishing. It's so hard. Like, where are the people clapping for me?
Right.
Where is my audience? I would like some acknowledgement that I caught one. Okay. Oh my God. Do you have a memorable fish? For me, when I think about like some of the toughest fish, the first one, because they definitely get like harder, and then legendary fish is like wild. But one of the first ones that was so difficult in my very first fave was the catfish. I could not catch that thing for the life of me. It took me such a long time. But when I did, I felt incredibly proud. So
I think the struggle of it, because in most other games, the fishing is the most tedious skill to learn. Like in World of Warcraft, you're spending hours to maximize it, especially back in the older days. If you had maxed out fishing, people are like, oh, you spent time, you spent tens of hours fishing. Mm-hmm. And in this one, I think it might be a little too frustrating, especially in the beginning, you know, minus thing like the legendary fish later on, but you feel the frustration. Okay, finally got a bite. Great. It's too much of a struggle. And then you just get frustrated, like, I'm never touching fishing again. And then you're like, but no, I need to, and I want to do it. So I think if they made fishing, like getting up to max, if they made it a little bit easier, I'm not saying like super easy, like every time, like it'll instantly catch it for you up to like level 2 or 3 or something like that. But I know I've gotten way too frustrated. I've like, okay, I have a good rod. I have a bobber. Oh, there's a treasure chest. I have to make a decision really quick now. I want both. Do I want to be frustrated and not get either? Do I want to take the risk or not? But yeah, I do enjoy fishing. And I do like sometimes of what the crazy stuff you get in treasure chest versus a stick. Great, a stick. That should be the appropriate word for just, you know, not having to fight a fish. Okay, I got a stick. I got a broken CD. But I think my only gripe with fishing is that it's still, up to the later points, it's just too frustrating where I'm like, I want to drop it.
Yeah, it can definitely be incredibly hard. I think in the beginning, I went like seasons without fishing. Because I was like, fuck that. I'm not touching that. I'm just going to farm. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do whatever else. And then I think it was like winter or something. I was like, oh, I need to make money. And I didn't have Dendro Island yet. So I was like, I got to figure something out. And I really went in on fishing and learned a bunch, which is awesome. Are you in Dendro Island?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. And I know that you said something about spoilers. Would you like a spoiler or no?
Research enough of it. I know like there's like dwarves and other things at the island. So yeah, you can go ahead.
I'm sorry. What do you like a spoiler about tools?
Oh, I know that you can upgrade them like even further. You can enchant them or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's one enchantment that I have and it auto hooks now. And that is huge, because I have missed so many by just like not paying attention to the pressing, whatever you choose. I have the A button and I'm like, I lost that fish. And so that auto hooks, which is really great. And then of course, then there's like all of the bobbers that make a difference. And that's something that I didn't really understand. I thought that some of the stuff that was available for purchase was just kind of like knickknacks. So I'm not a fisher, person. I have no concept of like what good fishing is in my real life. So I was like, okay, like it's cute, but I feel like I like the little purple spindly one better than this round circle. Like I didn't know what they meant. And then I read them and I realized, oh, this is actually going to help me catch the fish. So there's like one that you have to have in order to catch a legendary fish. And yeah, that made a huge difference for me.
And I think, I don't know if it's the way you play it, but it's like, okay, if I'm gonna fish today, that's the only thing you're doing.
Oh yeah.
It's like maybe in the beginning, like community center, okay, it's only between 6 a.m and 12 p.m I'll go do that really quick, you know, if it's a quest for something like that. But if you're deciding to fish that day, that's your whole day. And I think that's part of the commitment too, of like, I don't want to be frustrated the entire day because I'm fishing and I'm not getting every single fish, or I'm missing it, the kid needs something and then I miss, you know, which, and to my kids, they're learning that frustration too now. And I gotta be like, it's okay. I struggle with this too.
Pull through.
I'm only, you know, 3 decades older than you, and I experienced the same level of frustration of getting a stick, you know, trying to get the treasure chest. It's that balance that anyone will have frustrated, and they'll do the same thing. It's like, if they're gonna fish, they're gonna fish the whole day. And I'm like, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah. Do you plan it out, or do you find yourself like, oh, I guess I'm fishing, but you didn't realize that you didn't have food and you weren't like prepped necessarily, or your pockets, because we don't have a backpack, are full and you start fishing. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think it's on the day. I don't plan a day ahead. So it's like, all right, I'm going to commit to this. I'll take care of my crops, because I do like growing the crops too. I'll push as fast as I can to get the better sprinkler. I'll farm as quick as I can to at least have that. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to water. The less time I do that, okay, then I'm going to spend a day fishing. I know I should go to the mines. That's more profitable. I'm like, I need to get this up. That's my commitment. I do like that you don't just have to fish at the ocean all day. You can go to other places. And I'm like, you're doing the same thing, but there's still a little bit of variety. And I'll commit to it for the day. I'm like, all right, be another week before I commit another day to fishing. I'm not doing it 2 full days in a row. An hour straight of fishing would be very rough.
Yeah, no, I mean, unless you're like a masochist and you're like, I must feel pain for multiple days in a row. I don't feel it enough being alive. I need it in this game as well. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that either. My cat needs to be let out.
Okay.
Be free. Sometimes hear her in the podcast. Well, there's two of them, and they are very vocal whenever their door is closed. So
mine will just claw me.
Yeah. You're like, thank you. I'm bleeding now. I love you too.
They check to see if you're breathing and they just claw right here. I'm like, I'm still alive. I was just moving a second ago.
Yeah. My firstborn, Tula, bit me in the face once, and that was wild. I haven't been by a dog in the same place. So this feels personal. Why did she do that again? You know, cats are a particular animal that you need to make sure you really listen to their boundaries. You should listen to all of their boundaries, but they reinforce their boundaries way more often.
Do you always pick the same pet in game?
I do. I start with my same cat and then I expand. Yeah.
And because, again, thanks to your podcast, I didn't know continuously petting it, like the cat has a bar too. And sometimes it'll give you a fish. I'm like, thank you, cat. I can build a relationship with my cat. Awesome. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. What is your cat's name in the game?
My cat's name is Miso.
Miso.
I think when I was accepting the cat, I clicked too fast and it just auto took the name. I'm like, oh, but I mean, that's Miso is a fine name for an orange cat that just gets to lie around the farm.
Honestly, I didn't even notice the first time that I got food from the cat. I was like, what is this? Where did this come from? How did it just give me this food?
But yeah, like here, it's that behavior of when cats bring you presents, they're like, you're such a bad hunter. Here you go. But then it just, the fish is jumping around. I'm like, is the fish still alive? When it gives you out of the cat's inventory to yours, because it's bouncing around like you just caught it.
you're asking some really important questions because I think the cat is bringing you a live fish. And earlier you actually mentioned something that I wanted to ask you about. You said, like, in when we're talking about fishing, that, you know, you just get trash sometimes. I would think that once we've gotten rid of Jojo Mart, we would have like maybe less trash in the ocean. When you have the quest with the Tanuki and you give them food and like you complete that, trash is supposed to go away. But I'm wondering, who do you think is throwing all of those CDs in the ocean? Because it seems like a lot of CDs. Like, what is happening? Is someone just making a bunch of like discs and they're like, this one's terrible. Throw it out.
Yeah. That might be, because we don't know where Pelican Town, Stardew Valley, where it is as far as like a map, like, of like the location. Yeah.
Not truly, no. Mm-hmm.
But I think if we kind of like adjust it to our world, because there's a lot of the same things that they, their world, our world, minus the cave serpents, or maybe those are just flying snakes. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all those AOL discs from back in the day, because that's how we used to have internet, was through a disc. Yeah. It might be that. Sticks, obviously, or seaweed, that's just naturally occurring. But yeah, now that Jojo Mart's gone, there's no more cans. But yeah, I think it's AOL.
That is just so funny to me and so tragic. Because I remember those times when, for anyone who is younger than, say, like, I don't know, maybe 25.
Yeah, I think that's her.
Back in the day, the internet was not something that just, like, you plugged into the wall and, like, it was available through an Ethernet cable. You had to download it kind of thing. And there was AOL. There was, like, so many. And
yeah,
this time period makes a lot of sense. So they're just like, we're done with the internet. Throw into the sea. Goodbye.
Oh, it's shifting past Stardew Valley. They don't have internet. They're fine. They can
just forget it. Because no one's really spending, besides Sebastian, like, no one's really spending a lot of time on the computer. Like, they have access to it, but it's from a time period where, like, the internet was in a place and didn't come with you wherever.
Right.
Yeah, which is really different. Yeah.
And I was even thinking, well, if they close down Jojo Mart, we don't get cans anymore. What we've brought up about the people in the town, but this is a gossip podcast. Why isn't it beer cans? I think there's part of the story right there. We get rid of the major polluter, and now it's just the local ones. Because they do have trash cans, but I would like to hope to think that they have a recycling program. Maybe they outsource it, but I think that would be appropriate to find. Obviously, you know, like, we do have wine and stuff, so they're not, and beer, so they're not opposed to showing that. But we know so many people are in the saloon every night. We interact with the characters who do have drinking problems. And not all of them are just coming from a tap at the bar. Surely, and I hope you do better, Pam, surely Pam's drinking at home. 30 case of Natty Light. Why aren't we finding those cans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is journalistic mind. Or why is this happening? I think it's just so funny of, like, the things that I want the game to expand upon is just, it's just backstory. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, just tell me more. I'm so curious. I want to know more as to, like, what's happening here. Why are people making these choices? I want to know, who is the mail person who's delivering these letters? And I also want to know, who's picking up the trash? Who's the night person who's doing this? New characters. That would be really, really fun as well.
I could see that, but I think maybe, like, at least the male person, we should have, because we're learning about all these other characters, if we do introduce new ones, maybe we do, but maybe we just make them suspicious or more unknown. Because if you get to have Krobus move in with you and be your roommate, you're learning more about him. We're learning more about the world. Some things of that world, I think, should still remain a mystery. Mm-hmm. And if we're adding characters, maybe they can be part of it.
Ooh, yeah. What mystical creature would you like to see added in the game?
Well, we have, I like the Junimos. They're so cute. They're apples. What if we introduce, like, maybe a mischievous supernatural being that, like, would interact with you in ways, like, or maybe they're the ones who are causing the bad luck for you. You know, they're the ones who are, you're about to switch to your scythe to harvest something and they switch it with a bomb. And then you're like, oh no, they got me. But if we have the good little creatures, it's apples, maybe evil bananas. I don't know. Trickster bananas.
I'm just imagining evil bananas in town, just like bopping around, just like, Don't smush me. Kind of thing. Yeah.
They're making you slip on them all the time. Mm-hmm. You're trying to run somewhere. You got the speed boost.
You kill enough evil bananas and you have to make banana bread. And that's like how you, the end boss is like the banana bread that you fight. Yeah.
And then, yes, I'm like, oh, we learned our ways. But yeah, aside from maybe trickster bananas, maybe a unicorn?
Ooh, unicorn,
maybe something like akin to a unicorn, maybe like a liger, a pegasus, something. Well, that'd be maybe too close to the horse. And I don't want him even like interactable, but just maybe like the witch or like the fairy or like, you know, when you'd see Krobis flashing by here and there, that you get to see them, but that's it. And it just adds a little bit more like, wait, why are there unicorns? I know there's flying cape serpents and slimes and Junimos and Mayor Lewis. let's
have everything evil.
let's have just a nice mystical element to it. Like we have dwarves. We have all these other kind of like supernatural creatures. I think a cute one.
Yeah. I think a balance would be great. And listeners, if you're deciding between evil and good, you don't have to like send all of the things that you would like to see. I think that'd be really awesome. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I really appreciate it. This has been such a fun conversation. I'm going to start a trend that I might not keep up because I'm terrible at routine, but I would love to know in like one sentence or two, just like, what does Stardew Valley mean to you? And if you have a message for the listeners, since you're on the podcast.
Stardew Valley is a surprise. You come into it thinking that it's one thing, that it's a simple farming simulator, and it surprises you by how much you put into it. You can have a base level, finish the community center and the game, or you can get married and help the town out of alcoholism. It's a surprise of what it is. And I hope people, much like me, either through this podcast or just delving a little bit further, get to fully appreciate the effort and love that was put into this game.
That's really sweet. Thank you for sharing that. That was more than two sentences, but it was really beautiful. It was beautiful. No, it felt really inspired. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and yes, I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for listening. If you have some Stardrop tea to share with us, email at stardropteapodcast@gmail.com. Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land, and rate this episode 5 star drops. Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon.